So we return to the events of the last 24 hours in Libya, where it appears the capital city of Tripoli has fallen to the rebels, or at least most of it, even though fighting continues. Here is the sound of a tentative euphoria. Most of that firing is in the air, that audio from our partner, the BBC, who's been covering this, as we have been all morning long and overnight. But here is also a call for caution.
I call on your conscience, responsibility, to come to the fore and prevent you taking any vengeance in these happy moments, or damaging property, or mistreating foreigners or prisoners.
That's Mahmoud Jalil, who's the head of the Transitional National Council, which passes for leadership and a government in Libya in these early days. Joining us now, Michael Wahid Hanna, who's a fellow at the Century Foundation. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So, who joins us via Skype, I should say, from Rhode Island. Michael, listening to the sounds of the gunfire, the sounds of the euphoria, knowing the reports that fighting still continues around Muammar Gaddafi's compound, and that call from Mahmoud Jalil for no vengeance, for not settling disputes on the streets. What are your concerns about Libya over the next few weeks and months?
Well, obviously, the main concern at this point is securing Tripoli. I've seen reports that say that the rebels claim about 80% of the capital. That's obviously a very difficult thing to estimate at this point. But there are pockets, then, and particularly the main military base near Tripoli, Bab al-Azizia, that are not in rebel control. And so there is still a military fight underway. And there are also other cities nearby that are not under rebel control. So I think, you know, the first order of concern has got to be either taking those areas or securing some sort of handover of power, a peaceful handover of power through negotiations.
And during this...
Go ahead,
Michael, go ahead.
No, I think the second point, obviously, is whether there's a security vacuum and whether the National Transitional Council is able to exert its authority in a way that is seen as legitimate by the majority of Libyans.
Well, which raises the next natural question. And what we've seen in Libya is really a hybrid of what we saw in Tunisia and Egypt versus what we saw in Baghdad. You don't have a foreign invasion in Libya, but you do have a foreign intervention. Who do you think is running the show if there is a security vacuum? Is it going to be NATO, or is it going to be the Transitional Council, or does the Transitional Council get bolstered by NATO until someone accuses it of being an international stooge?
Well, NATO support was obviously only air support in this instance, and there has been quite a bit of coordination. This past week in particular, NATO, the Mwenzelia, which was a key strategic town to the west of Tripoli, was taken. The lead up from Zelia to Tripoli has been bombed repeatedly. So there is coordination, but the ultimate responsibility at this point falls to the Libyans themselves. There's no real capacity for the international community to be involved on the ground in terms of securing Tripoli and other areas. So at this point, that is a Libyan task. And I think that's all to the better.
We're speaking with Michael Wahid Hanna from the Century Foundation. And Michael, you know, we've talked a lot about the Arab Spring as a sort of domino effect. I'm not sure if that holds up, but oftentimes each time each dictator has left power, whether it be in Tunisia or Egypt, we've said that that has sent a message to the other dictators in the Arab world. What does what's happened in Libya say to, say, Assad in Syria or in Yemen?
Well, I think, obviously, all these uprisings are linked in a way. They are fed by local grievances and very particularized concerns. But we've seen some sort of transnational solidarity develop in the Arab world. It's not the Arab nationalism of old, but it is something different. Each instance and each victory, say, in Tunisia and Egypt, has fed this growing sense and has given momentum to movements in other countries. So I do think it is important and does give a sense of momentum and focus as well. I think a lot of eyes will now be very clearly focused on Syria, and I'm sure that protesters there will have taken solace from the events in Libya, which were used by the regime as a way to frighten people away from the uprising, saying this is where this could lead if you keep on pushing. So I do think it is important. Obviously, these These uprisings and their success depend on local factors and their ability to galvanize sufficient forces on the ground. But obviously, I do think that it does have an impact, psychological at the very least, in terms of giving a sense of where momentum in the region is heading. And, you know, a third dictator has been toppled. I mean, that's a very it's a historic moment. And I think people take pride in that.
Well, let's conclude, Michael Wahid Hanna, with the local factors, which could provide hope or provide more fearful scenarios that would, again, you know, rattle the psychology of the region, as you've described it there. What are the mechanisms inside Libya, with virtually no tradition of civic life for the last 42 years, of absorbing the people from Gaddafi's regime, of turning their loyalty to Gaddafi into constructive collaboration on a new government without revenge and retribution?
Well, I mean, that's obviously a very tall order. I think you've hit upon a very important point in that it will likely have to be a hybrid of sorts, in that they've established some sort of transitional authority, but that authority is going to have to take into account the massive numbers of those who used to serve in the regime. Not all of them, not the worst offenders, but for to be successful, it will have to incorporate some of those others who have been working in the Gaddafi government.
And it's a real test for the international community. Does the UN help here? Does USAID help here? Does NATO help here?
I think those are all being probably studied at the moment. I think there is some opportunity for aid. I think there's a lot of diplomatic effort that has already been put into place with respect to the Transitional Council. So I think those efforts will probably continue. I think what's different about this situation is that there are frozen funds that are now being released to the council. And so there isn't the crying need there is in other situations for liquid cash. That
right.
exists. The Libyans are a rich country.
Michael Wahid Hanna, a fellow at the Century Foundation. What's next in Libya? He's been talking as part of our coverage of the extraordinary events all morning long. We're going to leave you with the voice of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi and what may be his last message to his people.
You have to go and fight and protect your country, your dignity, your patron. And this fight is going to be won by the huge supporters.
Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around.
I will be with you, among you, in Tripoli. There is no going back. We're gonna go all the way to the last point.
Gaddafi called to his people and got his answer. They took to the streets and joined the rebels. All morning long, we'll follow the events in Libya where freedom is afoot after 42 years of dictatorship.
No one's gonna hurt you. Not while I'm around.
Fighting and freedom in Tripoli, Libya. The historic events all morning long on The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.